Is I know Pastor Doug's been doing a series on the heritage of faith, our heritage of faith, on Wednesday night. So we want to keep that theme going on faith. And tonight we're going to talk about how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? We know that we should be fighting the good fight of faith. You hear that all the time as a Christian, and fight the good fight of faith. But we're not quite sure what that means and how we know when we win and all this stuff, right? So we're going to learn some things tonight, and I've got 3 hours worth of stuff for 45 minutes. So I don't know. We'll see. No. Just kidding. So we're going to get in the Word tonight. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. We're going to kind of start there. Is this too loud for everybody? Am I too loud? Okay. All right. We're good. I like to hear myself when I speak. Otherwise, I yell really louder, but I don't want you to feel like I'm yelling at you. So 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. And this is what it says in the Amplified. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses. We know a lot about faith in our type of church, and Pastor Doug preaches a lot about faith. So I'll tell you this other verse, you know, which is Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? And then we know about Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Okay. If we still keep in 1 Timothy 6, and we go down to verse 20, I want you to see this. So we just read in verse 12 where it talks about fighting the good fight. Now we look at verse 20 where it says, O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit entrusted in you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter with the vain and empty and worldly phrases and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. For by making such profession, some have erred, missed the mark as regards the faith. Okay? So here we see that Paul's telling Timothy that he needs to fight the good fight of faith. And in verse 20, he tells him what to guard against, which will cause him to err and miss the mark. So if we're talking about a fight, I love that word fight. I'm a fighter. I like talking about fighting. So I thought, Pastor Doug, I said, I'm going to talk about fighting. Talk about fighting tonight. But let's talk about fighting for a minute. Whenever there's a fight, it's unconsciously already known that there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, right? Rarely do we ever think of a fight where everybody wins. That's just a stroll in the park. Everybody comes in first. But a fight has a winner and a loser. And in this passage in 1 Timothy 6, we see where you could be a winner or you could be a loser. Right? Because if I am going to fight, let's say we go over to invade a country or we go over to fight, you know, for some people's right. And we go over there and we have all this equipment. We got the air support, we got ground support, we got water support, everything you think of. And they fire all the ammunition they have in the wrong direction. Who do you think is going to win that fight? Huh? They're not winning the fight where they went to fight because they missed the mark, right? They hit none of the targets. All the targets are still there. Did they have the right equipment? Yes, they did. Did they actually use the equipment? Yes, they did. But what did they do? They missed the mark. Now, let's look at the equipment we're talking about here. First of all, we got a fight. So there's a fight, all right? The equipment, based on verse 20 here, has to do with words, with my mouth, right? So I've got the equipment. And I've got a mouth, and I'm using words. But my words are directed at the wrong target if I speak certain words. So I miss the mark. So I miss the mark by the words that I use. So do you see now the focusing factor of hitting a target is what? My words. That's how I hit the target, is with my words, right? So we got faith, but we're talking garbage. So my faith isn't working. I don't have the God kind of faith I need to take care of the target. All right? I'm getting somewhere with all this. Tonight, what we're going to learn tonight is how to conquer something. When you fight the good fight of faith, you should be the winner. You should not be the loser. Right? I want to be the winner. I don't want to take all this time and fight and then be the loser. Somebody else's flag is standing in my territory. I don't think so. I didn't go through all this for nothing. You see what I'm saying? When there's a war, when a country invades another country, whoever wins, don't they get to put their flag up? Right? So if your country wins, you get to put the flag up. The other country's flag comes down, or whoever is there, it comes down. Your flag goes up, right? Now, if I'm part of an army, as we all are in the kingdom of God, whatever part you play, you're part of the kingdom of heaven. Whenever there's a win, it's for God. So we got the whole, God's army wins when we win. God's kingdom gets represented when we win somewhere. Amen? All right. So I want to lay that foundation for you before we move on. So one of the things, I want to give you some definitions that I have discovered about the word. We're going to talk about two words. We're going to talk about conquering and another word that's similar to it, that's the same as it, which is overcoming. You know, the Bible talks about overcoming. So the word conquer, if you looked it up, it would mean to defeat or subdue by force, especially by force of arms. Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by storm, right? To gain or secure control of or as by force of arms. That's what conquer means. Then we come to the word overcome. And that means to deal successfully with or control of a feeling or a problem. Okay? To affect strongly or make powerless. Does that sound like stuff you want to do? Do you want to feel powerless? Uh-uh, I don't. I want to make something else feel powerless. Amen? Amen? You know, I'm the feedback kind of preacher. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wake up tonight. You're going to have to wake up tonight. But what the Lord was showing me is this. Let's go to Ephesians 6. And we're going to look at, first let me get there and then I'll tell you where we're looking. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, okay? And it says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Okay, so right there, you need to know what you're fighting. So you're not fighting flesh and blood. But against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on. So God knows what we're fighting against, and he's given us protection, right? He said, put on. And then we know about the armor, okay? And then he said, verse 16, let's go to verse 16. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. When you're in a fight, along with having weapons that you can fire, it's good to have protection from weapons that fire at you, isn't it? You don't want to have, you don't want to kind of like be wide open, you're fighting, hoping they have no ammunition. Well, they have ammunition, right? So we have something that we could hold above all that quenches. So I want you to think about this, the fiery darts. So let's say we got a arrow coming to you, at you. I watch these old movies with Gabriel. He loves these things with arrows and bows with flaming fires. Just so I get to watch them. And they come at you to quench the fiery darts. They got fire on them. Here we're holding up, above everything else we got on, we're holding up this shield of faith. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. If I didn't hear any word of God, I got no shield that came to me. I got on my helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I tell everybody about Jesus and how to get saved. You know, I know about this. I know about this, you know, the Bible, as far as like I can hold one. I can open it and turn anywhere. But I didn't hear the word of God for myself so I could hold up a shield of faith. It's not just about knowing where to find a scripture, okay? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which that means you get into the Bible and you can like fire out some scriptures, okay? But there's something else called the shield of faith, which is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the stuff that you hear about the word of God that you pulled up. It's the understanding of the word, right? Because to hear is not just to have heard a sound. It's to listen and understand. That's what really hearing means. Hearing means to listen and understand. You ever have a conversation with someone and they say, do you hear what I'm saying? They know you heard what they're saying. You're standing right there. What they mean is, do you understand what I just said? You see? So holding up the shield of faith is you have heard the word of God. You didn't just read it in your daily devotions. You heard the word of God. And you can hold that thing up against the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, where this all got started was, I noticed some things in my family line that I thought, this is kind of odd. But last week when Pastor Doug was preaching, last Wednesday, he turned to a scripture, Hebrews 12:24, and it talked about, if you want to put that up for me, Les, Hebrews 12:24, and it talked about how Jesus, Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. And that never stood out to me before until last Wednesday when I realized that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. What gave him the right to be the mediator? He conquered the old one. He came to fulfill the law, right? He came, and because of what he did, there is now a new covenant. We all have access to it, but he got the right. He received the position of mediator over it. He became the boss of it, between the big boss and us. Do you see what I'm saying? So the Lord is showing me what you conquer, you get to rule over. But what you don't conquer gets to rule over you. Let's take it to our everyday life. People who don't conquer cancer, they live in fear that it'll come back. You understand what I'm saying? And so for their whole life, it depends what age they got it, now their whole life is spent checking up about cancer, that it doesn't come back. Now there's a difference between conquering and making it go away. I don't know how else to say this. Let me explain. If I have cancer, okay, and all that occurred is a surgery and medicine that got rid of it, okay? And it did. It got rid of it. But I had no faith activated in that process. So I didn't use none of my shield of faith came up. I have no word, no revelation knowledge from the Word of God about this, about sickness and disease and how Jesus took stripes on his back for my healing and it's already been paid for. I have no revelation about that. There's no faith involved in this process of how I got cancer out of my body. I didn't conquer it. I just simply got rid of it, but there's a possibility that it could still come back to fight me because it didn't die. I didn't kill that thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So here's what happens. Let's say you lived your whole life, because here's the overall picture I want to tell you. Ephesians 6, what we just read, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, right? We're wrestling with principalities, and we're wrestling with demons, with Satan and his army. So all this stuff that occurs that's fighting us, it's not the flesh and blood stuff. It's a spiritual battle. So if I didn't activate my spiritual weapons to fight this thing, then the thing wasn't conquered. See what I'm saying? So for my lifetime, I might have been cancer-free. That's great, because medicine and there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with that. But there's got to be another part. But the generation after me might have to deal with that again, because I didn't conquer it. Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't conquer it. I took care of it for me. So I'm fine. But my generation now coming after me possibly will have to fight that thing that I never killed spiritually. Could you think of some things you're fighting? Somebody didn't fight before you. Now, the Lord showed me this too. He said, whenever we see something from a previous generation that we recognize we're fighting now, we don't criticize it, we conquer it. Because if we start criticizing it, if 1 Timothy 6:20 goes into effect, right? The babbling and the useless words and all that crazy stuff, that means you're now getting into pity party mode. My parents abused me. They just didn't know how to treat children. I never had everything you had. Yeah. You keep going like that, you're wasting your ammunition and you're missing the mark. You're not fighting the real thing you should be fighting. You see what I'm saying? You can do that, but it's not helping. So your kids will have the opportunity to say that about you when you're gone, because really, they could say all she ever did was go on and on about what somebody did to her. Okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you that yet. If you know how much I have to tell you, I'm trying to get this out as logically as I could, strategically, so you can get what I'm saying. But okay. When I fight, I want to know that I get the results that Jesus got, because he's my example, right? Did Jesus ever lose a fight on earth? He didn't have this old wives' tale called, well, you win some and you lose some. You hear that? You win some, you got to choose your battles, and you know, I've said choose your battles, and I'm researching, going, what do you mean choose my battles? If somebody's fighting me, I better get with the program, because then my son and my future children are going to have to fight this. You see what I'm saying? So something simple I noticed with my family, when I came back from Guyana just like a couple weeks ago, I was there for a week. And it took me like 2 weeks to recoup from being there for a week. I mean, I was like, my throat was like pouring stuff out, my head. I'd wake up and I'd be like, you know, and I mean, my leg was swollen. I mean, all this stuff was going on. I'm thinking, God, I know you wanted me to go there, but for crying out loud, And so my sister just came back. And 2 days after she's back, she's at our house, and she's telling me the exact same thing. I mean, as she looked it, I'm thinking, huh. I said, you know, I had the same thing happen to me. But then I remember that my dad, every time he would travel, it didn't matter if it was international, and even if I don't travel internationally, whenever we do travel, it just happened to do that to my body. And I never paid attention to it before. But then I remember the same thing happens to my dad. And I thought, now wait a minute here. I said, God, there's something happening here, and I need to know what it is. And he started showing me this. And see, but with the caveat that you don't criticize what you're generating, because honestly, I'm so glad, I am so thankful to God for his mercy to show me this. Aren't you thankful for him to show us this? Because think about it, now it gives you like a target, like you actually have like, you're focusing stuff now. You know this stuff isn't just happening. You know, you're not like hopelessly going, oh well, Lord, I just believe that I don't have diabetes like my family member did or what. You know, you're like, this is a fight. You're not coming in my house. You see what I'm saying? So simple thing like that, like I'm standing in faith. I'm holding up a shield of faith, right? That this stuff is never going to happen to me again, ever, because I'm conquering it. That's what conquering means. It means it's never going to happen again. Because the army that fought you on that thing, you're demolishing in the spirit realm. Okay? Now think about living a life where you're not fighting the same thing for the rest of your life. If we don't conquer something, we will have to fight it for the rest of our life. Right? A lot of people die of the thing they never conquered. So, okay. Luke 11:22. I'm going to read you some scriptures. You can write them down, look at them later, and then Les can put them up so you can see them. But I'll go through them really quickly. And it talks about being conquerors. It says, but when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So my weapons that I'm fighting with are mighty. They're not carnal. They're not going to dissolve and break up. They are mighty. So I've got the upper weapon. So why is it that we get defeated in some things? Because we're missing the mark. We're using the weapon, we're going to the place of the fight, and we come back defeated. Why? Because we had it pointed at the wrong target. We missed the mark. We erred. We had an error. You see what I'm saying? So now, how much more it's important when pastors preaching the word of God, you listen and understand, you pray, you say, God, I want all the revelation I can drip out of that baby for what I can have now. Because there's revelation in same script, John 3:16, people have never seen yet. We have yet to see, but it's being uncovered as we, you understand what I'm saying? Whenever you are sitting under the word of God, you pray, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Teach me stuff I have never seen. That's why whenever I pray, right before I preach, I'll ask the women in Woven, I always pray, show us something we have never seen, Lord. And boy, do I get stuff I've never seen while I'm teaching. Because I want every drop out of the word of God of understanding for something. So when I use that thing, I'm optimizing that weapon. So when we are holding up that shield of faith, it's the understanding of the word of God, because it came by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, and we are optimizing that stuff, and we're pointing it in the right direction. So what happens here now is How do we fight? Let's talk about how. I'm going to skip all the way through. I have all these scriptures to tell you about, but you get the picture. Okay. The first thing we have to do is we got to know who we're fighting. So we've discussed we're fighting principles. We're not fighting people. You're not fighting a personality. Okay? I can't stand her. She's always like that. That's a personality. What you're fighting, okay? Because I tell you what, if she gets removed and that spirit was never conquered, guess who's going to jump on next? Somebody else around you is going to have that same attitude. All of a sudden, well, she was so nice. What happened to her? She was an unbeliever in an environment where we thought we solved the problem, but what we did was we wrestled with a personality. Okay? But we never conquered the principality. All right? So you got to know who you're fighting. You're not fighting a person. It's a spiritual warfare. Your weapon is mighty, and it was designed specifically to fight this type of enemy. Right? Because God gave us the weapon. He knows who my enemy is. So my weapon was specifically designed to fight the enemy with whom I'm having a warfare. It was not designed to fight a personality. So do you see how when we go out to battle and we're pushing our ammunition towards a personality, we come back defeated? Because we just erred. We just missed the mark. The mark went untouched. You see? Instead, there's a personality we're dealing with. A person. Our weapon was not designed to fight them, but instead to fight the spiritual battle. Okay? So here's what happens. If we don't understand this, that spiritual fight that you were doing, that spirit that you were fighting, could possibly end up start working through somebody you really like. Think about this for a minute. Somebody you really like, and because you know that person and you like them a lot, you will never bother to come against that spirit. Because you know that there's no way, they're just not like that. So that thing gets to sum up some strength right there in your presence. Until all of a sudden, it just blows up. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if we don't conquer this stuff, we're gonna kick out personalities left and right and people, and they need to go. When in fact, we never took care of the spiritual thing. So it won't always be in a person you don't like. Not that these are demons clawing onto people, but they're people being influenced to be used to do the job of what this principality wants to do. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, you know, don't get all scared on me here. You ever go in the office, who's got the demon today? It is an atmosphere. I'm sure you could give some names, but listen, it's an atmosphere created where there's whispering suggestions. Did you know that I saw her talk on a phone, on a personal phone call? Well, that is not allowed. So now that person just kind of has a little bit of uptightness towards you the whole day. Where did they hear that from? I don't know. I didn't tell her. Babbling and a bunch of garbage going on. And we're the faith people and the Christians, and we're sitting there. Well, I just walk in love. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. You got to take care of that stuff spiritually. You see what I'm saying? All right. I remember when I worked at a very large company, had a client that was brand new. The client had been there for 2 weeks. Very large client, and they were doing something brand new, never been done. So I was the account rep on it, and I was the lowest position in this big meeting they had one day. And I had only been working for the company for 2 weeks, right? And I'm sitting in this meeting, and they are just swearing. I mean, their normal language, they're just going off like normal. I couldn't take it. I just, like, something in me just went, I stood up in the middle of the meeting, just stood up. I said, this is unacceptable. I cannot take this any longer. They're like, okay. And, you know, my bosses, they're all there. They're like looking at me like, who did we hire? I said, your language is unacceptable to me. I can't stand it anymore. I have never been in an environment that's so foul. I am sorry. And, you know, I knew something. I knew in the natural I had the company policy to back me up because it's written in the company policy. And they went, oh, we are so sorry. Oh, my. And guess what happened after that? Language went out the door. But I wasn't going to go to, you know, Mary, I'm, you know, there's this thing I'd like to talk to you about. Every time you talk, you kind of, I mean, the Spirit of God just rose up in me. Because honestly, there's no way I would have done that in the natural, thinking I'm the lowest, I'm 2 weeks there. I mean, it's easy to get rid of me. But I just rose up and I said, but you know what? Later on, I realized God was clearing the atmosphere. You see, he just needed to have a voice to speak it out. And it was the cleanest environment you could be. And people would actually come just sit in my office just to be get away from all the confusion. Yeah. And what they did was they put a team together for me of all the people nobody else wanted because they needed to pull a team real quick together. So I had all the leftover people, you know, like, oh, send her. Oh, send him. So I had every, the boldest personalities you could ever think of, I had all of them. All of them made up my team. But when the Spirit of God gets welcomed in a place, he can clear the air like nobody's business. Because love covers, right? So look at this. Love covers. And because love covers so well that the people that are a problem, if you invite love in the environment, if you invite the Holy Spirit in the environment, he can clean the place up without anybody having to know who had the biggest problem. Because love will cover. You see? So it's like, isn't it like, is everybody gets a clean slate to start with? Isn't that what God does for us when he forgives us of our sin? I mean, we all get a clean plate to start on, right? So we got to know who we're fighting, okay? How far did I get? Yeah. The other thing is, we're fighting the carnal man, too, as far as our carnal man, you know, me, my desire to just get in the flesh, you know? So you got to know that, that's some of the things you're conquering. Anger, you know, impatience. Just, I can't believe they're taking so long. Don't they know? You know, I got things to do. I've got places to go. Those kinds of things, okay? But those are some of the things you have to conquer. Those are some of the things you're fighting, okay? And that 2 Corinthians 10:4 is the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Romans 8:7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Okay? So because there's a constant battle with the carnal and with the spiritual. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? So sometimes when we think about fighting and winning and conquering, we're afraid of people, right? So if we know this verse, man can't do anything to me to harm me if I'm walking in what God wants me to do. If I'm doing what he wants me to do, man can't harm me. Moses didn't die, did he? I mean, when he went and approached Pharaoh, I mean, the most powerful man at that time, he could have just raised his hand, told the guys, pull him away, kill him. God protected him, you see? So I have to know that when I go in for a fight, okay? And I told you, faith does not criticize, but it conquers. What you do not overcome or conquer, you'll have to fight for your entire life. And your children will have to fight the same thing, except it will be multiplied. It's not going to be the same level that you had. Okay, David with Bathsheba. I think he kind of didn't conquer there. He committed adultery. His son Solomon, how many wives did he have? It was multiplied, wasn't it? Yeah. Didn't he have quite the multiplication occur there? You see what I'm saying? So the things that we, Abraham, he didn't conquer that whole idea of Sarah being so gorgeous and beautiful that he was kind of scared to tell people it was his wife. Didn't Isaac have the same issue? Isaac had the same thing. He told the king that wasn't his wife, that was his sister, and the king caught them and said, wait a minute. You see what I'm saying? It Abraham didn't conquer it, so Isaac followed it too. So there are people in the Bible, as great as they were. See, this doesn't hinder us from going to heaven. So don't think, oh gosh, now one more thing. What it does is we don't have to live that way. That's what I'm showing you. We don't have to live fighting the same fight for our entire life. That's just when we have this weapon. I mean, when we have these tools, when we have this ammunition, when we have the mightier weapon on our side, we do not have to live this way. We don't have to constantly be battling the same thing. And whether you believe it or not, you will have to constantly battle it if you don't conquer it. So let me give you a picture of what happens. You know, you have something comes up, okay, a sickness shows up in your life. You get all your prayer people, you know, your intercessors and all this, big thing going on. And you fight, you know, and all, a pastor prays over you and everything else. And so you get up to a certain point, and it all just dies down. It's like, wow, we have the victory. It just kind of goes away. Okay, that's another deceit of the enemy. Because if you think the enemy left, you're done fighting, right? You just kind of go back home. We're done. We're good. But then like a week later, 2 weeks later, you're dealing with the same thing. What happened? You never conquered it. The enemy just kind of laid low. And you thought you conquered the thing. And then here it comes again. You see? When we conquer, there are some ingredients that are necessary for conquering that you really can't get a shortcut around. Okay? And I'll tell you what they are. Number one. We need to do it in faith, okay? Faith has to be an active ingredient. We talked about holding up the shield of faith, okay? The work of faith is obedience and not sacrifice. Our faith is proven by works, because faith without works is what? Dead. So you have to have faith that's alive, all right? So what kind of works are you supposed to be doing? Because faith without works is dead. It is works of obedience to God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means there's something I have to do that's pleasing to God. In Samuel, he tells us that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice, at that time when it was spoken, was offered up as a repentance for sinning. So therefore, obedience is better than me having to repent for sinning. What would be the sin? The sin would be disobedience. So faith without works is dead, and therefore my work of faith should be obedience to God. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay? That's the first step. Second step is, faith works by love. Faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Your faith, okay, without works is what? It's dead. But your faith cannot work at all if you don't have love as part of the ingredient. Because faith works by love. So you can be obedient to God all you want, but not do it by love, and you got a big defeat on your hand. Do you see what I'm saying? There's nothing overcome to there. Now, let me give you this picture. How does this work? You have something that you need to conquer. So the first thing you need to do is get an understanding from the Word of what the Word says about that thing. You need to get your faith, okay? The next thing you need to do, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's your guide. He has the mind of Christ. He knows the mind of Christ, so he can tell you what the Father needs you to obey. So you invite the Holy Spirit to give you some instructions, okay? But here's the other part that we all miss, and this is where you don't conquer, but you just kind of get the enemy to lay low because you brought a bunch of, you know, you brought some help from the Holy Spirit and he's kind of scared of the Holy Spirit. You need to activate people in your life to help you conquer. That's the love part. That's the part that requires you to walk in love with other people. To bring them in to help you. So you're not just getting up to the block, the wall. You are plundering the wall and going through it. When you activate your faith, your shield of faith with the love walk with somebody else, it's like putting a stick of dynamite there at the wall and it blows the thing up. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't just like take a couple layers off so you can kind of step over and you think, oh, I just talked to that mountain and it just went in the sea. Uh-uh. It just went underground for a little. It's going to come back. But when you blow something up, what happens? It's going to take a long time. By then, you're a few generations down the road. See ya. The anointing, what does it do? It destroys the yoke. Now, so some people, okay, so here's what happens. So you conquer. But now here comes the shield of faith, still needs to be active, right? Because it's quenching what? It's quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. Now the fiery darts, if you're shooting an arrow, you don't have to be right. So if I want to shoot an arrow at Jeff here, I don't have to be right here. I could be all the way in the back of the room and shoot an arrow and I could still have position to get him, okay? So I could that's where I'm going to shoot a fiery dart from. But if he has up his shield of faith, that thing isn't going to do anything for him. So your shield of faith becomes something that you actively use as you're still walking where you're supposed to be going in life. It's not that you're stuck behind this wall. You keep hitting this spot every time. You can't get any further. You're like stuck. You didn't conquer. You're just kind of like hanging out behind the wall. God had the children of Israel walk around the wall of Jericho. I mean, that thing got plundered, didn't it? He could have easily opened the gate, couldn't he? I think he could open the gate if he needed to. But there was a significance to the wall falling, wasn't there? Yeah. I don't want you behind the wall. You're taking over, you see? Okay. Here's why love is so important. If you ever read 1 Corinthians 13, which I know we all do, and we read it for other people, well, they need to know love. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. If I want to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible, the Word of God, which is faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, I need to get an understanding of the fact that love never fails. So if I'm going into a fight to conquer something and I take love in with me, guess what's going to happen? I'm winning. You see what I'm saying? Think about your own life. When you're going through a fight, you know there's a fight on. What's the first thing that happens sometimes? Don't you get a little irritated, people? Yeah. Every person that do everything you don't like done shows up same day, same time, wearing the same color dress, same shirt, driving the same car. Yep. What do you think's the setup? What do you think the setup is? Huh? It's to mess with your love walk. Because that's the thing that's not going to fail. So if I wanted to knock out your best weapon, wouldn't I go after the thing that's not supposed to fail first? That kind of shoots the whole thing down right there, doesn't it? So you can have all the faith words you want to speak, but if you got no love, you have nothing. It even says you can prophesy. You can keep, ooh, that said the Lord. My problems will just dissipate into the thin air. But I can't stand you, so get away from me as I speak the word of prophecy. Nothing. It's nothing. It will fail if you don't have love. You see? So these are the steps that we take. We got faith, right? And we got to do something, work. But that work is directed by our obedience. And none of it can operate and get the results we want, which is a good fight that we win, without love. Four things. I said all that to tell you four things. You know? And I know we're over time, but I want to... Here is the deceit of the enemy. To get you to solve these battles through willpower and 12 steps and all these other options, right? If you choose to do some of those things and you have no faith in the added to the bucket, you do not conquer these things. They'll come back again and you'll have to do the same thing again. So don't just rely on willpower, okay? The Bible on that willpower thing, it's self-control. It's through the Spirit, self-control, right? So if we know that, we activate the Bible part. We have faith to believe and have an understanding of what self-control is. But we don't just stop there. We obey the Holy Spirit and we do some work related to that, okay? But then we have to activate love and make sure it's part of the pie so that it cannot fail. Got it? All right. Some of the things that you can look at, you know, if you got things happening in your family history, in your life, some main things to go after that you don't nitpick at everything is fear. Because fear brings with it depression, low self-esteem, you know, crazy in the head, with bipolar, multiple personalities. Now, some of these things are medical, you know, are chemical imbalances, but then there's healing available, you know. Just speak healing, look for healing, you know, scripture on healing. And these are some of the areas you can start looking at in your life. I am doing the same thing for me because I want to give an inheritance to my children's children, like the Bible says. I don't want to leave some baggage that I never emptied out and cleaned out. And by the time it gets to my son, it smells so bad. You know, nobody wants to get around him with the thing. You see? Start conquering these things. And we have a mightier weapon. It's not like this big, long, drawn-out thing we got to do. Fighting it for the rest of your life is a long, drawn-out thing. And it holds you back. It stops you from going at the race that you should be going, the speed, you know, in your walk with God. It just drags you down. So we have to ask the Holy Spirit, what things you want me to conquer here? What kind of battle have I been dealing with here that is just pulling me down, holding me back? Amen? Did you learn something tonight? Yeah, yeah? Got some tools now? And look, I took a three-hour thing and I narrowed it down to, oh, maybe 50 minutes. Amen? Well, God's good. There are a lot. If you want to know who fought and won and they did it by faith and they walked in love, read Hebrews chapter 11, because it really does outline it there. It talks about we call it the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it really does talk by faith, by faith, by faith. The reason why all of it worked for them was because they went, if you look at the process they went through, all these things were active. For Abraham, he had to do something. He had to actually leave his father's house, go to a place that he never saw, and guess what happened? He conquered that thing. His father didn't do that. His father stayed right where he was when he should have left. He conquered it so well that when Lot's servants and his servants were in strife, Abraham could actually go to Lot and say, you decide where you want to go, you take that direction, I'll take another one. Whatever direction you choose, I'll go the opposite direction. Abraham overcame and conquered the fear of not knowing what's going to happen if he lost what he had. He did it at such a degree that he went to kill his son at the obedience of God without fearing what would happen if my only son died and he's the promise. Because why? Because he conquered it. The first time he conquered that thing, he did every action that God asked him to do. He conquered it. Do you see the difference? You see how that works? So when you look down the line, if you look at these people in the Bible, you'll see what they conquered. Jesus, he conquered sin. He's now the person we go. He's now the door for our sins to be removed. He is the door to the Father because he conquered it. Adam could have been. If he had conquered sin in the garden, I told people, you know, if Adam had conquered sin, but like 25 generations down the road, somebody sinned, I bet you Adam would have been the go-between there for that person because Adam was sinless. You see? We don't know, but the point is, whatever you conquer, you get to rule over. And we have to think, if you go to a battle and you lose it, the winner of that battle, whoever their king is, they get to rule it. The king of the side that wins get to rule over that area, that territory. I don't want the devil to be ruling over nothing in my life. I don't know about you. You see what I'm saying? And the king gives orders for things to happen. I want my king, Jesus, who is the king of my salvation, I want him to rule over every area in my life. And so that's what I'm looking at personally over things I need to look at and conquer. Amen? Well, let's pray before we go. Father, I thank you for the word today, Lord, and I thank you, God, that your word is planted in good soil and it will bring forth good fruit, Father, and that we will have a continuous revelation on what you taught us tonight, Lord, and that we will see things that you want us to see, change things in our lives we need to change. Let us have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I thank you, Father, that we are your children because we are led by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we are blessed tonight as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.